welcome back to the second half of Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis, and there's more important information coming up, so please keep that pencil and recycled paper handy. As always, in the starting off the second half of the show, we have our weekly commentary, and this one's a little longer than usual, so you're going to have to bear with Uncle Dennis. I'm going to hopefully try and make it through. This commentary is entitled, Federal Biologists Claim Forest Service and BLM Officials Ignored Science to Push Through Damaging Timber Sales. This is written by Garrett J. Ross of the News Review in Roseburg, Oregon. And here goes. Federal biologists say they were harassed, intimidated, and finally ignored by their Forest Service and Bureau of Land Management supervisors in Roseburg, Oregon, for refusing to sign off on timber sales. 3 years later, following two court decisions, a special investigation of the whistleblower claim, and a pending appeal, the issues remain unresolved. Biologists claim science got tossed while taxpayers paid the price, but Umpqua National Forest Supervisor Don Ostby and the Bureau of Land Management District Manager Carrie Osterhaus, who helped make the final decision, say everyone doesn't always agree when decisions are made. But they insist that both laws and protocol were followed. A ruling is expected any day from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. If the decision sides with the two earlier court decisions, it could have a huge impact on how timber sales are reviewed in Douglas County, Oregon. Here's the history. In 1997, when Doug Rivard worked as a fisheries biologist for the Roseburg BLM, he was attached to what is called a Level 1 team that's comprised of the most experienced biologists and botanists from a number of national forests and BLM districts. The team, formed on the behest of the Forest Service as a way to streamline the consultation process for the Endangered Species Act, reviewed projects slated for the Umpqua National Forest and BLM lands and then made recommendations to agency heads. Rivard, along with team leader Cindy Barkhurst and fisheries biologist Jeff Doze, both from the Forest Service, reported to their superiors that some of the projects would damage habitat for the cutthroat trout and coho salmon. It was only a handful in comparison with the number we reviewed, Doze said. There were 24 timber sales in all, mostly clear-cut style or regeneration harvests, that's basically clear-cuts, that would be later voided, not once but twice, by U.S. District Court Judge Barbara Rothstein. In her second ruling in September of 1999, Rothstein wrote that the best science available was ignored. By looking at the long-term effects of the sales over entire watersheds, the agencies, quote, virtually guaranteed that no timber sale will ever be found to jeopardize the continued existence of the Oregon coastal coho or the Umpqua River cutthroat trout, she said. What happened was the agencies just kept changing the process to get the results they wanted, Barkhurst said. Federal officials claimed the ruling would tilt the Northwest Forest Plan too far towards conservation, making it impossible to meet the annual timber harvest the plan requires. The biologists told their supervisors the projects didn't meet the requirements set by either the Northwest Forest Plan or the Endangered Species Act because they were in areas already degraded from years of logging and road building. To log them further would strip away most of the remaining trees in patches of old growth. When Rivard raised his concerns with BLM bosses, he said they not only dismissed them, but marginalized his role at the agency and threatened to fire him. The News Review contacted Rivard in Alaska, where he has a new job and a pay raise with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Quote, within a year, five fisheries biologists will have left Roseburg, Rivard said. Quote, the message in the Roseburg BLM is, if you don't like the way we do things, leave. It all goes back to 1997 and his work on the Level 1 team, where Rivard said he was cajoled and bullied by his bosses. I've had the district manager come to my desk and tell me I'd be in trouble if we kept going the way we were, Rivard said. Two other biologists and myself were brought before the district manager and a number of his underlings in the February of 1997. There was foul language used, very unprofessional, from the district manager himself. Real intimidation going on. Doze and Barkhurst also ran afoul of their bosses. The way I describe what's happening is that I have been marginalized, Doze said. I really don't play any role at all in the ongoing activities of the forest. Instead of supervisors saying, oh, thanks, it was more like, oh, God, we've got to silence these people somehow. Barkhurst, who is the Forest Service's Threatened and Endangered Species Coordinator in Roseburg, said she was removed from the Level 1 team and for the first time in her career began receiving negative performance evaluations. I've never had a problem with performance evaluations before that, Barkhurst said. I've always had an excellent record. In the long term, I fear retribution for my role in the Level 1 team and conveying those issues. It's more about than just a few timber sales, Barker said. She and Doze both say that more than 90% of the projects the team reviewed were approved. Quote, the issue here is about using the best science to come up with the best decisions to make sure we meet our objectives, she said. You should have the best people with their best ability to review and provide feedback in an honest way because I think that's what the public wants. Otherwise, I don't think we're doing a service for the public, and I'm concerned about my professional ethics and standards. Parker says she hopes to be reassigned to the Level 1 team so she can do what she's been trained to do during her 20 years with the Forest Service. The contentious sales first came to public attention in August of 1997 when Rivard and Doze went around their bosses to send a letter to top regional forestry officials in Seattle. The letter said, contrary to official reports, the harvest seemed to be out of line with the Forest Plan and the Endangered Species Act. The National Marine Fisheries Service officials, Will Steele and Elizabeth Garr, dismissed the biologists' concerns, but the letter, along with numerous agency reports and memos, were discovered by environmental and fishing groups, who then filed suit in what became the two court cases known as Rothstein 1 and 2. Quote, the litigants never would have gotten through the courthouse door if it had not been for the letter, Doe said. Quote, if we hadn't done that, there would have been a plausible deniability on the part of all the higher-ups, the regional forester and the BLM state director. Quote, they could have stepped back and said, gee, nobody ever told us these things were going to be bad things for the cutthroat trout. The letter landed Rivard with a 2-year probation for breaking Interior Department rules by trying to undermine agency policy. Quote, without any notice, I was taken off the Level 1 team and replaced with a BLM Coos Bay biologist representing the Level 1 team for Roseburg, he said. They basically sat me in a corner and made sure I had nothing significant to do. That continued for a year or so, Rivard said, until another fisheries biologist at the same pay scale was hired specifically to do consultation work. Quote, there's no need for two, only one, so what we are also talking about is taxpayer fraud, Rivard said. Rivard filed a whistleblower complaint with the U.S. Office of Special Counsel, claiming his attempts to keep the BLM from violating federal law led to reprisals from his bosses. Quote, in March, I was in Washington, D.C. and talked to those folks, and they said I had a really strong case, Rivard said. It is an ongoing investigation, and there is someone out in San Francisco who will be investigating. In the last 2 years, Doe said he has spent a lot of time trying to provide leadership to the other fisheries biologists who he says aren't more subject to intimidation than he is. I'm trying to keep them afloat, he said. A lot of them have left in disgust, and we've got more wanting to go. The morale is terrible. Doe said the situation could have been avoided. I view this whole thing as just a sad, despicable debacle, and it cost the taxpayers millions of dollars in legal fees, timber not cut, and on, Doe said. Someone should have nipped it in the bud. When I say someone, I mean those who were reviewing what was going on. It was just four individuals, and they disagreed with us in every single case. Those decision-makers were Ostby, Osterhaus, and one supervisor from both the National Marine Fisheries Service and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Quote, I would not allow a project to be implemented that would not meet our conservation mandates, Ostby says. In the final analysis, actions I took were based on the belief that they reflected the direction and spirit of the Northwest Forest Plan, were in compliance with both judicial intent and reflected the public interest. Osterhaus refuted claims that he browbeat Rivard and other biologists. Quote, I expect every employee on the Roseburg District to treat each other with courtesy and respect, and that includes myself, the entire management staff, and all the employees, he said. Osterhaus admits the patchwork quality of BLM lands make management decisions more challenging, but he said that it was taken into consideration during the development of the Northwest Forest Plan and all its components. Quote, what this is a particular renegade national forest, the Umpqua, and a renegade BLM district, the Roseburg District, that didn't like the Northwest Forest Plan when it was adopted, and they don't like it today, and they will do everything they can to get around it, according to Andy Stahl, director of the Association of Forest Service Employees for Environmental Ethics. The group filed a friend of the court brief on behalf of the biologists during the Rothstein cases. The first Rothstein case ruling was based on the failure of the National Marine Fisheries Service to demonstrate the sales complied with the forest plan, and in particular the aquatic conservation strategy, Stahl said. The agency didn't change the sales at all. He said they changed the scientific team that reviews the sales by removing Cindy as team leader, closing the door to Jeff, and removing Don Rivard. They instead found more malleable folks to review those sales, and when they told those folks that they were forbidden from reviewing certain kinds of environmental harm, Osby said Stahl's claims are nonsense. I have and continue to be a strong advocate for the National Wilderness Forest Protection Act, he said. And that is the best opportunity we have had in decades to resolve competing interests in the use of national forests. Anyone who seriously examines the changes implemented on the ground over the past several years would agree. That was the Northwest Forest Plan, excuse me. Elijah Waters worked as a fishery biologist alongside Rivard in the BLM at Roseburg, Oregon. He now works for the agency in Alaska. Quote, there was pressure to get the cut out and ignore the science, he says, and there was a lot of pressure for the biologists there to move on. Open criticism of the fisheries biologists was not only tolerated, but the management joined in. From all levels, from the top down, they made negative comments about biologists. Biologists had a difficult time implementing the Northwest Forest Plan the way it was meant, with riparian areas and survey and management requirements, because the streams were in worse shape than people envisioned, Waters said. Fisheries biologist Scott Snedeker also worked at the Roseburg BLM during that period. He's with the BLM in Klamath Falls now. Snedeker said he never had a problem with his superiors. It was mostly certain people, he said. As fisheries biologists, we have to implement so many programs and we get pulled in so many directions, and it makes for a real challenging course to bring forth the best overall direction. He compares the forest plan to the Constitution. Quote, there are inconsistencies written into the forest plan, he says. Nothing is hard and fast. It's like the Constitution, left for biologists to implement, but any public or private entity can challenge, and so the plan is evolving based on litigation, and it may evolve to where it's unworkable. Another biologist from the Forest Service, who asked to remain anonymous, said it is tough to do the job, quote, because you're always running interference against commodities extraction. You have to decide early on in your career whether you like it, whether you'll tell it like it is, or take a safe course. And that's our commentary for today on Earth First Radio. The commentary was written by Jarrett Jaros of the News Review in Roseburg, Oregon. Let's get back into that job announcements we were on just before our break. The Student Environmental Action Coalition is looking for somebody. They're looking for a highly motivated self-starter. You can fight for justice and work for SEAC, they say. It's an immediate job opening as a Speakers Bureau coordinator. You'll promote their Speakers Bureau and organize a summer training institute and much more. You need to be task-oriented, very responsible, experienced, web knowledge, good interpersonal communication skills. Experience in fundraising is a big plus. Determined, detail-oriented, experience in campus activism is a plus. They are accepting applications immediately. Please indicate when you will be able to start. They are 40-hour-a-week positions. You should be familiar with the Student Environmental Action Coalition and be able to work for little pay. There is a stipend to cover room and board plus some spending money. Doesn't sound like a whole lot. You'll need a cover letter, a resume, and the attached application. Of course, since you're hearing this on the radio, you can't get an attached application, but you can get one by writing to ncc@seac.org. That's ncc@seac.org, or you can call 215-222-4711. That's 215-222-4711 if you have any questions. Or, of course, you can write to Student Environmental Action Coalition, SEAC, P.O. Box 31909, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19104. Once again, that's SEAC, P.O. Box 31909, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19104. And don't say when that's going to close, but it sounds like they're leaving it open for a while. Here's your chance to name the new Greenpeace ship. Greenpeace is calling for all fiber activists to help name its new ship, the first to have its name chosen by the public. The ship will also be the first of Greenpeace's fleet to have an onboard webcam, enabling cyber activists and other visitors to follow our ocean-based campaigns. Previously, ship names have originated from within Greenpeace, so this is your chance to have a say in what this ship should be called. Get your pencil and paper handy. Here is the web address. zope.greenpeace.org/z /shipname/. Once again, there's no W's in this thing. Not a one. It's zope.greenpeace.org/z/shipname/z, and you'll get an online submission form. You can put your name in there and get to name the new Greenpeace ship. Isn't that wonderful? All kinds of fun stuff you can do on the web. Here's some news. Last Wednesday, the United Kingdom's only test crop of genetically modified wheat at Sacrewell Lodge Farm in Cambridgeshire was completely destroyed. Darn, stuff keeps happening. Here's some more action news. Here's an action alert. Headwaters deal sacrifice zone clear-cutting imminent. Maxam Pacific Lumber intends to begin clear-cutting the second-largest intact stand of contiguous lowland old-growth Douglas fir and California Rainbow Bridge on the Mattole River of the Lost Coast. Logging will fragment 3,000 acres of ancient forest by clear-cutting 250 acres in 29 units spread throughout the North Fork of the Mattole Basin. This is the first of the so-called sacrifice zones, which is Pacific Lumber is allowed under the terms of the Headwater Deal Habitat Conservation Plan to ignore the Endangered Species Act. This area is home to coho salmon, steelhead trout, river otters, northern goshawks, peregrine falcons, Pacific fishers, and a small rural community. It is pristine, remote, very steep, and rugged 14,000-acre mix of forest and prairie, receives 100 inches of rainfall annually, and much of it in concentrated deluges. It is also one of the most seismically active regions in the United States. Continuing landslides occur from 1985 clear cuts, generating enormous quantities of sediment in the North Fork of the Mattole. Despite the Endangered Species Act exemption, the devastation of this old-growth forest is illegal on numerous grounds. Six timber harvest plans are awaiting the California Department of Forestry's imminent approval. The approval is virtually guaranteed following a January 18th meeting where the agencies were told by Governor Davis's staff to, quote, bend over backwards to approve these clear cuts and back off attempts to protect fish and wildlife according to the dictates of state law. Governor Davis, that's California Governor Davis, has shown how he backs up his campaign pledge to ensure, quote, that wetlands are preserved, rivers are clean, and all oak growth trees are spared from the lumberjack's axe. Not so. Downstream residents rallied 2 years ago when Maxam PL tried to enter this forest and logging was halted in the state and federal courts while dozens were arrested at blockades. The downstream community vows to fight these plans as well. A local coalition is prepared to buy these parcels outright from Pacific Lumber to preserve the old growth and support the local economy with ecologically sensitive logging of sec forest and grazing on the accompanying prairies. We are urging Maxam to implement a one-year moratorium on logging on Rainbow Ridge while a down payment for the acquisition is secured. Lawsuits will be used to try and halt the impending THPs. Others are prepared to engage in direct action against these illegal plans until the forests are spared from the lumberjack's axe. We need your help to protect this magnificent forest from Charles Hurwitz's insatiable greed. First of all, contact Susan Kennedy. That's Governor Davis's chief deputy of staff, or deputy chief of staff, something like that. Her number, 916-445-6131, 916-445-6131, and let Ms. Kennedy know how you feel about preserving the magnificent ancient forest on Rainbow Ridge in the Mattole. Demand the state immediately deny THPs 198-260, 199-475, 100-020, 100-031, 100-218, and 100-342. I'll repeat those numbers again because you need them when you're contacting our state officials here in California. THPs 198-260, 1-99-475, 1-00-020, 1-00-031, 1-00-218, and 100-342. If you'd like more information, contact the Environmental Protection Information Center in Garberville, California. Their number is 707-923-2931. That's 707-923-2931 or www.wildcalifornia.org. If you want on-the-ground updates, call the North Coast Timber Monitors hotline, 707-441-3828. That's 707-441-3828. Or go to their webpage, www.asis.com/tildecoho. That's www.asis.com/tildecoho. Coho. Get out in the woods. I believe there's an action camp getting started out there, so get out there. Action alert, Idaho. Mackey Day timber sale cutting to start soon. Cove Mallard volunteers recently watched loggers bring in feller bunchers and other timber harvesting machinery in preparation to log the Mackey Day timber sale. Three Rivers Timber is apparently intent on logging Mackey Day this summer. We need people to come to the Nez Perce National Forest now and stop this destruction. Tenuously located on steep slopes of the Wing 20 Mile, this timber sale will almost certainly increase sediment levels in the drainages here and threaten existing populations of fish. 10 Mile Creek, one of the major streams of Mackey Day, is a critical recovery habitat for steelhead and bull trout. Degrading the habitat of an area needed for the recovery of threatened populations of fish will only accelerate their extinction. The sale is also not in compliance with environmental regulations such as the Endangered Species Act and Pack Fish Standards. Cove Mallard Coalition needs your help. If you have experience in woods action and are willing to halt, impede, or otherwise stop the U.S. Forest Service timber sale, come to Mackey Day. That's in the Nez Perce National Forest. For more information, contact Cove Mallard Coalition, P.O. Box 8968, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's Cove Mallard Coalition, P.O. Box 8968, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or give them a call at 208-882-9755. That's 208-882-9755. There's still port snows too hard in Idaho. Get on up there. Try that out. And here's a story called Mississippi Locks Protest. This is written by Thomas Anderson. And the Army Corps of Engineers launched its River of Dreams Partnering Conference in St. Louis on June 16th. They expected about 300 people to attend, mostly representatives of the barge industry and other river interests. But the Corps did not expect Mark Twain to show up, backed by a cast of giant handmade puppets from Art and Revolution, Redgate, Earth Firsters, and others. It's lunchtime at the conference, and these 11-foot-tall corporate giants are shuffling by, bobbing faces of Archer Daniels, Midland, Cargill, and ConAgra. Sounds like they had a great time. Anyway, the Army Corps of Engineers will be holding another Corps partnering conference in Anchorage, Alaska, on September 15th. Also, in October and November, Corps will be hearings in St. Louis, Quincy, Peoria, Quad Cities, Dubuque, La Crosse, and St. Paul. Plan your own protest against the Army Corps. Learn ways you can get involved in defending the Mississippi. Please check out the Environmental Coalition's website at www.riveroftrees.org. That's www.riveroftrees.org. And unfortunately, that's just about all the time we have for news on this edition of Earth First Radio. If you want to get news or announcements from your bioregion to Earth First Radio, please send us email at cruzief@cruzio.com. That's cruzief@cruzio.com. Be sure to send all those announcements at least 3 weeks in advance. You can also send letters to Earth First Radio. Our address is P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. That address again, Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 34, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. If you'd like more in-depth news and information about the Earth First movement, please subscribe to the Earth First Journal. Their address is P.O. Box 1415, Eugene, Oregon, 97440. Once again, that's the Earth First Journal, P.O. Box 1415, Eugene, Oregon, 97440, and they'd be glad to send you your first copy for free. You can listen to Earth First Radio live on your computer every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. You can go to the website www.microradio.net/FRSC. Download the player and listen in. There's lots of great shows on Free Radio Santa Cruz anytime. Once again, that website is www.microradio.net/FRSC. You can always find Earth First Radio archive shows on the World Wide Web at www.radioforall.net. That's www.radio4all.net. And the software you need to play the MP3 files is free on that website. Earth First Radio is carried on a growing number of free speech and non-commercial radio stations. Please ask your local radio station to rebroadcast Earth First Radio. And you can listen to Earth First Radio on WXXE in Syracuse, New York, from 5 to 6 p.m., I believe it is, on Saturday evenings. Earth First Radio is produced in the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz. And I'm hoping to get some interns to work with Free Radio Santa Cruz. So if you need credit and you want to work as an intern for Earth First Radio, you don't have to be in Santa Cruz, California. You can be anywhere out on the net. It's not a problem. Just send email to cruzief@cruzeo.com. Our theme music was written and performed by Daryl Cherney from the CD Keep It Wild. And we also heard music from Robert Hoyt. First tune was Quitting Time off of his Dumpster Diving Across America. And now we're going to listen to a tune called Enough off of his As American As You Are CD. I'm Uncle Dennis, and I want to thank you for listening to Earth First Radio. And we'll see you next week.
Stumbled out of bed, stayed up too long worrying about being dead. Showed up late at the place where I'm employed, mumbled something about the traffic and the boss just looked annoyed. Lunchtime outside felt the sun upon my face, but it reminded me of another time and place. Heard the birds sing, music in the air. Then I felt something drop into my hair. My heart sings, it gets battered on my sleeve, and my senses all get up to leave. My head spins, it gets just too full of stuff. Sometimes you just gotta say enough. Yeah, enough. Oh yes, enough. Saving the world can be so hard to do when no one else cares, at least not as much as you. A few precious moments, a few things to share, but it costs me a lot of stress, 'cause it's such a mess and we're not getting anywhere. My heart sings as it gets battered on my sleeve, and my senses all get up to leave. My head spins as it gets just too full of stuff. Sometimes gotta say enough. Yeah, enough. Well, what's enough? I'll tell you what's enough. It's enough time, enough sleep, enough benefits to reap, enough money, enough love, enough of anything you can think of, enough power, enough brains, enough patience and enough pains, enough ignorance, enough bliss, enough of that and enough of this. My heart sings as it gets battered on my sleeve, and my senses all get up to leave. My head spins as it gets just too full stuff. Sometimes you just gotta say enough. Yeah, enough. Oh, enough. Oh, yes, enough. Ooh, enough, 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 enough,